Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We are wrong.
Hello, world.
Sorry. Welcome to another episode of Black Girls Laughing. I'm sorry. I was like trying to Facebook Live and I like messed it up. And so I'm like being an idiot right now.
You just want to start again.
I kind of like that. That's awkward. And
yeah, we're just being awkward today. So anyways, it's a new episode of Black Girls Laughing. We're
yay!
Here. Woo, 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 woo. It's Brittany.
Hello, world. It's Rashonda.
Man, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
It's September.
New month. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Almost 2017.
New month, new luck.
It's crazy. Rock on wood. Oh my gosh.
It's like the fall.
And it's the fall. I'm so excited.
It's not really the fall,
but like, it feels like it right now. Fall. So I'll take it.
Yeah. It's like feeling good. 70 degrees. Like, what? Hey. We're recording over Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
And what's up? What's good? What's new?
I won free tickets to Made in America, so I'm going to be going to this or that right after this recording.
She ain't taking me.
I know. Shade. All the shade. She went last year, so I get to enjoy it this year. Backstory. I get paid once a month. I think I said that the last podcast about budgeting, because I get paid once a month. So I finally got my first check. So I immediately reactivated ClassPass. So I was like, I need my ClassPass. And then immediately signed up for a flywheel class. And the girl was like talking me up. And I was like, yeah, yeah, okay. She's like, well, you know, we're giving away free tickets to Made in America. We're going to raffle off at the end. I was like, okay, I never win anything, but sure. All right. Go in, leave before the stretch. Because I was like, I need to get back to work. I took like during my lunch break. Get back, go about my day. I go to check my email randomly and they're like, oh my God, you won't believe it. You won. They called your name during the stretch. Can you come pick up your tickets on Friday? I was like, are you shitting me? Like, what are the chances I reactivate my account, sign up for a flywheel that day, and then win a pair of tickets to Made in America?
You can never quit ClassPass.
I can never quit ClassPass now. And the girl made a good point. She said, well, you know, you just want your money back for this month of ClassPass off these Made in America tickets. And I was like, yeah, plus, you're right. Plus, I know.
It is not cheap.
It is not cheap. And I went to go get my tickets, and it was when I went to the class, I don't know if I'm the only black girl who does this. I always like look around the room and see if there's another black girl. Just I'm like, okay, that's like
always do that.
Like, it's just like my instinct to do that. One other black girl there, she won the other pair of tickets.
Yay, black girl's winning. That's amazing. Really. Yeah, these white girls that are probably playing full price. Sorry. True blue flywheel hoes. Exactly.
Paying the full membership price. So thanks, Flywheel Center City.
That's dope. So who are you the most excited about to see?
Rihanna, for sure. I'm really excited to see Rihanna. I've never seen her live. She can't sing worth a damn, but
she's been doing a lot.
She's doing better. She's doing better.
I think you'll be like pleasantly surprised.
She's doing better. I don't know if I would say she could sing though. Still,
I mean, anyways, they always lip sync.
Exactly. I'm more for the performance, the dancing,
the show.
Yes.
But she's not a good.
She's not a good dancer either. She's not a good dancer either.
She probably passing on some blunts or something. Like, how can you get backstage and be her friend? That's what I want. I want to be her friend. I want to be Rihanna's friend. I think I want to be Rihanna's friend more than I want to be Beyonce's friend.
Oh.
I think I could, like,
No, I want Beyonce.
Like, I mean, I want to be Beyonce's friend, of course. But I think Rihanna, being friends with Rihanna, I feel like it's, like, more attainable. Like, I think that can actually happen. Like, I just need to be cute enough on, like, Instagram and, like...
That's probably
tag
true.
Tag her in it and she'll be like, oh, friend.
That's true.
It's like,
that's true.
Ooh, I can roll a mean blunt. Like, show her that. And she'll be like, yes,
you're part of the friend. Yeah.
Design cool glassware or something. Like, make a black girl. A black girl smoking weed box. And she'll be like, yes, I'll be your spokeswoman. All right. I mean, if Rihanna, if you want to do that, like, I'll do that work.
So I'm really excited to see her tonight. And I'm going tomorrow to see Coldplay because I'm a black woman who likes Coldplay. Apparently, that's like not heard of? Taboo?
No. It's not taboo or not heard of. I just don't like Coldplay. So I was just shaming.
Throwing shade because.
I don't think they're good. I don't like any of their songs. Everyone that loves them so much, I'm just like, really? That's boring. I think I've talked about this before. I put them in the same category as like U2. A lot of people love them, but I don't care.
I don't like
one damn about them. like just like whole white families go to see U2 together and whole white families go to see Coldplay together. And I'm just like, y'all have fun. Oh, you want to take me too? Nah, that's cool. Y'all have a good time. I don't want to waste this ticket.
All right. So, yeah, what are you doing this weekend? Anything?
I have family coming in. We're going to hang out. I'm going to go see some museums or whatever.
It's nice.
It's weird. The PMA is going to be open. Even though we're in America going on. So I'm like, I'm going to like try to listen.
I don't think you'll be able to hear it.
Try to like kind of be a part of it. But Made in America's kind of crazy too. So I'm like, you have fun.
My God.
Have fun seeing those teenagers that are drunk and high and butt naked.
I'll share my experience.
Passing out.
If you guys are going, share your experience with us too. I want to know who you're looking forward to, what you guys think at the end. I'm really excited to see Rihanna. Let's see if she, like, delivers.
Who else is going to be there?
Who else? Oh, my God. Rihanna, Coldplay, Tory Lanez. Do you know? I like that guy. He kind of makes a lot of, like, trap music. Not Panda. Designer. He sings Panda. I want to see him.
Okay.
I'm just going for all the trap music besides Coldplay.
Yeah. What an interesting mix of things.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Okay, Jay-Z. Cool.
Jay-Z, is he still curated?
I don't know. He probably doesn't. No, let's be honest. Like
some fleet some of minions. Like hipsters yeah. that do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So let's just get into the job.
Let's do it.
So let's start off with some serious stuff. And then we'll have fun. So, South Africa, at the Pretoria School for Girls, there's a protest going on. Some young African students have begun to protest a new rule against Afro hair and natural hairstyles at the school, saying that Afros and braids and locks are dirty and unprofessional. All the stuff that we've heard here in America plenty of times is just showing you how white supremacy is a global idea and anti-blackness is global and in full effect all over the world, not just in America. And these girls are stepping up. This one little girl, she's like 13 years old, who's been like the one that's set up the protest, has been the main speaker about it, and she's so cute. Like, I love her fro. Mm-hmm. It's completely neat. Like, it is, like, she even has it smooth. Like, I don't want you to have hair on your face. Her hair's not in her face.
Yeah.
She has her edges laid, and her hair is in a nice, huge puff. Like, I would dream to have that puff. It's so gorgeous. And she's out there with her friends speaking out for their rights. What's also crazy about it, it's not just the hair. It's also they don't want them to speak in their own language, their own languages, or hang out in groups more than five. It's like, is this a prison yard? Like, that's like prison yard rules. How dare you say that black, that your black students can't congregate and talk to each other in their native language? Mm-hmm. Noise. But the children that speak Afrikaans, the language of the apartheid, are, they're able to talk together mm-hmm. and hang mm-hmm. out in groups. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
It just, it always amazes me. I don't know why it does. Sort of the imagery of black people and sort of what's perceived as good and bad and right and wrong. So the idea that if your hair is natural and it's in it, kinky, oh, that's bad. Like, God forbid you do your hair like that. Like, you are unattractive. It's not a standard of beauty. Like, just that concept and how universal it is. It really is. And how it keeps being perpetuated time and time again is always heartbreaking. And the fact that kids are having to go through this and speak up on it when it shouldn't even be an issue anymore. Like, you should be able to wear your hair however the hell you want to wear it, when you want to wear it. That's ridiculous to me. The idea that you can't speak in your own native language tongue is absurd. That's, and more mm-hmm. importantly, the fact that the image of, and I think it goes both ways for guys and girls, a group of black people together immediately creates this idea of danger. It's that's alarming to me. And that goes, again, across all, mm-hmm. it's international. Like, and I'm guilty of, and when I think about it in America, I'm guilty of seeing a group of black guys together and I'll cross the street. Mm-hmm. But I think that's because it's been so put into my brain.
It's yeah. It's so ingrained in our society. We have to unteach the hate that's yes, been placed upon ourselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've been teaching myself that for years. Mm-hmm. I didn't even recognize how bad it was mm-hmm. until I moved to Philadelphia after college, after being the token black person in so many white institutions mm-hmm. throughout my life. I recognized how I'd been trained to be questioning
right.
towards black bodies mm-hmm. that were not my own or yes. that I did not already no. know.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's disgusting and it's alarming. And you're right. It's ingrained in us. But oh my God, amazing that these young girls are stepping up and standing up and being advocates mm-hmm. for themselves, which is so important. So yes, for self-advocacy. Yes, for self-awareness and standing up for what you believe in, regardless of how hard it may be. But it's hard. It's a difficult mm-hmm. thing, especially at that age, to know that you're right and to stick behind that.
I mean, it's what grow. It's the way that your hair grows out of your body.
Oh, yes.
And they're telling these children that they need to straighten their hair, that they need to use chemicals on their hair, that is what's going to be, that is what's deemed acceptable, mm-hmm. altering your appearance. What's been really crazy to me is been looking at a lot of comments, because I'm the worst and I look at the comments, even though, God, you're not supposed to look at the comments.
You're never supposed to look at the comments.
But I'm interested. I want to see what other people think. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of other people from the continent, the African continent, that have been saying, rules are rules. You should follow the rules. That are even saying that the hair isn't acceptable. I'm just like, what? And the, or like, how are we making, like, or they're saying that they're saying stuff that I hear white people in America say, mm-hmm. like, why are they making this a race thing? It's not a race thing. It's an acceptability thing. No, you have decided that white is the default and you have accepted that idea that white is the default. Until we can dismantle that and say that, no, being alive and human is the default, no matter what, mm-hmm. no matter what way your hair, the way that your hair curls or kinks or does anything, but no matter what the color of your skin, you are human, and that's it. That there's no standard. Mm-hmm. Like it's important to be neat and clean, but you just say that just because your hair does something different, it's not neat or clean. And yeah. then a lot of black people just don't know how to take care of their natural mm-hmm. hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, the natural hair movement is very new.
Mm, it's true.
Like post like Black and Proud, like of this, like in the 70s, it's it's new. This new wave of natural hair started mm-hmm. in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Like, it is less than 10 years old in many regards. And, it doesn't even have, a true platform. We'll talk about a platform that's coming up to yes. celebrate it.
Yes.
But, you know, what do we have? We have some blogs and some YouTube and some mm-hmm. YouTube channels that have come together to become natural hair yeah. in the whole entire world.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so true. It's not on television. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it is, it's political. There's a political statement behind it.
It's true.
We're not talking about Kaepernick, but I just want to talk about Kaepernick's fro. I love his fro. It's so cute. I love everything that he's doing.
I'm just loving it all. Yes. I am so here for him right now. Like, yes, keep it going. Oh, yeah. My God. Yes,
everything is perfect. Yes. But anyways, we're digressing. But
shout out to those girls.
Yes. Those girls. I mean, and they're being heard.
Yes.
Like, the school board there, what their equivalent of the school board, has told the school that they need to suspend the rule for right now, so they could at least examine it and make a decision about it. And what's also great is that other schools throughout the country are also having their own protests happening. Mm. So there's a ripple effect with this. It's like any protest. One protest will begin to spawn other ones because it's happening everywhere. Yeah. Again, these type of evasive rules exist, probably are happening here in America. There was a school district that they had to protest that, I think in Ohio recently. And then there's been it's not a new thing. Well, as school happens now, as you know, it's back to school time, mm-hmm. more people will be going back to school, and we'll probably be hearing more things. I mean, it could be happening, right down the street at one of these charter schools in Philadelphia, for all we know.
It's true. Oh, my God. On to brighter news. Yes?
Yes.
Brighter VMAs? News.
Yes. The blackest VMAs.
Yes.
Yay. Oh, my gosh. I did not personally watch all of the VMAs.
I didn't see all of it.
I'm too old. I used to live for the VMAs.
I did too.
I would watch them, write down everyone who won, so I could go into. I'm a nerd.
I never did all that.
I'm a nerd, and there's things that I nerd about was music and pop culture, and so I would sit down and make sure I knew every fact, and so I could go in there and talk intelligently about this. But no one even cared. But I wanted to be able to say I know about what my happened facts. At the VMAs and every other award show. So the VMAs were the crown jewel. They were amazing. It's amazing.
No, they are fun. They're
especially
fun.
Especially when you're a teenager.
Yeah, no, they're just pure fun. I loved them back in the day.
13, 12. Yeah, that's when I was writing all this stuff down. Not 17 or anything. 12. It's cool to be a nerd like that when you're 12.
So you say.
It's just too much shade. Anyways. So the VMAs. Beyonce.
Killed it. Slayed.
From the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
Her, again, her going in with all of those beautiful black women, yes. with all of the mothers of the slain victims of police brutality.
That was so touching.
Oh, and just everyone just looking so gorgeous. Every hue, every shape, every yes. type of black woman was represented in that group.
Yes, absolutely.
And Blue Ivy.
How cute was Blue? Blue was too cute. I'm gonna be honest. I was a little nervous when she got pregnant. I'm going to keep it for real. I was like, I don't know what that kid is going to look like. What Jay and Beyonce. He's a weird looking guy. He is a weird looking guy. So you don't know. Blue is so freaking cute.
Blue is so cute. And she looks a lot like Jay-Z.
She does, but it works.
But in all the right ways. Yes. But also, you look at old pictures of Beyonce at that age, she also looks just like Beyonce.
Yes, she does.
So it's I'm very interested in what her face is gonna look like as she grows up. But she's still cute.
She's so cute.
She's gonna stay cute. I mean, she's royalty. At the end of the day, if she really doesn't like her nose or her face someday, they'll fix her. But I doubt that she will even have those issues because she's been told that she's a princess and a queen every single day. Yes. So
She's magical. Oh my gosh. She's so cute.
Too cute.
Oh my God.
So they like stomped the white carpet.
Yes. Oh my
God. Did you see that video of Chance the Rapper talking to like an E! News person? Like he was like, hello, like,
oh yes.
And then like Beyonce list like comes by and was like, hey. Yes. And then he was like, what? And he's like, oh shit. Yes. That's Beyonce. He like flipped. Yeah. And that. The girl was like, oh my gosh. And Beyonce was like, yes, you guys are great. Oh, I really like your hair. Oh, I like your tattoos. Bye. Talk to you later. I'm like, oh my gosh. I want Beyonce to just come pat me on the back. Just
give me a little. Tell me I'm doing a good job. Just be like,
yeah, I see you kind of thing. I want Beyonce to see me.
I love that she has that effect, though. Like, that this woman is just breaking down so many barriers. And, like, oh my God. That is not. Yes, she's a black woman, but she's a black woman who's accomplishing all these things.
Everything.
Everything. Like, all the things. She's just, like, knocking it down. Like, just when you think she can't reach another level, she surpasses it. It's like,
she makes a new level.
She makes she's a new
like,
level.
She's like, oh, I thought you were the pinnacle of black women. And then you were like, nah, and then we can do this, too.
Exactly.
And you're like, okay, cool. We can do this, too. Awesome. Oh, my God. All right, stadium tours. Yes. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
She's so great.
She's so great.
Again, she did all of Lemonade.
Lemonade. Basically recreated Lemonade.
She was like, hey, remember the Formation Tour? I'm going to do it for you again. I'm going to do songs that you didn't even get to hear the Formation Tour.
God. Yeah.
Because I was so happy that she just, like, did it all. I was like, yeah. I love you, Beyonce. And she just, like, took over the entire stage. The only thing that was, like, I did not like about her performance was the audience.
Oh,
I like some of the audience. Like, some of the audience were like getting their life.
Yeah,
there's like this gif of Ariana Grande like falling down, like because she can't even handle it. Like, she's like fell on the ground.
I didn't see that.
And like these other people just like going crazy, and I absolutely love that. But then there's just like people that are like, she's like walking down, like she was like walking on the catwalks.
Yeah.
And there's people on every side of it. And there's just like people like, oh, I'm cool. Let me be here. I'm just like, why can't just have your life? Don't try to act like, no one knows who you are. No one cares about you. So stop like looking in the camera.
Yeah.
Just have a good time and enjoy yourself. Look at Beyonce, not the camera. No one cares about you.
I need to watch it.
And Beyonce broke that camera. I'm like, yes. She didn't do anything.
I loved that. Oh my God.
Oh, it was so perfect.
It was so perfect. Oh my gosh. It was just so everyone. Rich. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Mm. Yes. Oh, yes. I can't even find the words.
And like, she's been slaying the VMAs for forever.
She has.
Like, it made me think about like, all of the times that I've seen her, from Destiny's Child to like when she did Ring the Alarm.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Yes, with the trench coat.
So good. Yes. She's everything.
She is. She's been just like killing the awards season this year, like the BET Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my, I was sobbing with the BET Awards. Yeah. I was like, this is so black in all the greatness that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, I was like, what the hell?
Oh my God, everyone was getting information.
Everyone.
Having their life, knowing every single word. I want to actually watch a, like, MTV, if you're smart, you should do this. Because you should always have, cameras on the audience. Just show me the best shots of famous people losing their minds. Because, like, I want to see that. I want to see them fangirl the way, like, you know, yeah. Like, they're just like us.
Yeah.
Fangirling like hell. Like, over Beyonce. Like, I want, like, some, like, big beat. Like, look at Michael Phelps knowing every single word to Formation.
That would be amazing.
Who knew he could dance and knew the choreography? Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Who else from the VMAs? Who else were we loving?
Well, Rihanna.
Yes, Rihanna. the Michael Jackson Vanguard Award. She was the recipient this year. Drake presented that to her. I love their relationship. I just want them to like be a couple already.
Well, they're a couple.
Are they officially a couple? Are they? Okay. Are they really like official?
I mean, he said that he's loved her since he was 22.
I feel like he says that about everybody, though. I feel like he said that about Serena if he gave her an award. Like, I don't know.
I think it could be both.
I just like them so much.
Yeah, and like, there's, I think they really, I think, and like, she's apparently like very awkward with people that she's into, and so like she like that weird kiss thing. Because she doesn't know like what to do. She's like really in it, and like that's great. I'm excited for them.
I love it.
I think they'll be together for a while.
I hope so.
It was a little weird that he brought up like how much he loves her in presenting the award. I think it should just be like, you're great. This is why she's great. I feel like it like put too much of the spotlight on him. I feel like I know about Drake more than the award that she won. And the body of work that she did to win that award.
That's interesting.
And it became, and like everything that's in the media about it is about their relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
Not so much about how she won this award, why she should have won this award, and like all the things that she's like, all the videos that she's made that are, you know, revolutionary.
That's true. It did become that moment.
It became about her and Drake. Yeah. And so she's like, and I feel like that happens to her a lot. I think that's why it's taken her so long to get in another relationship post Chris Brown. I mean, you know, but like beyond the domestic abuse and what happened, it's just like they were this, you know, umbrella in Good Girl Gone Bad was
and Chris Brown,
all of that were like the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And so she wanted to just become a full fledged star, without the attachment of a man, and like now she's. But now it's going to have to come together again. She won't be as free. I feel like there's Beyonce and Jay-Z, but then there's Beyonce on her own. Yes, and then Jay-Z, oh yeah, you're still doing things.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, Jay-Z to a lot of young people is Beyonce's husband. And I love
that's
that.
True.
I live for that. That's amazing.
That's true.
Kanye. Kanye had this he did a speech, and it was very long.
Leading up to Kanye fashion.
Yeah, it was very Kanye. And, like, I like it. I think he's so cute. Everyone was, like, losing their mind for Kanye. The people that love Kanye, and I love it.
It's true.
I love it. Like, people, and I think sometimes people, like, forget that he still has a huge fan base.
He's still loved
by millions of people, despite the media spin of him, because he's a villain in so many words. Like, I really liked the fact that he said he'd be cool with Beyonce winning it over him, which was clearly going to happen.
I mean, yes, we all knew that.
Like, formation was art. I mean, what he did was art too.
But no, it was. Like, I actually really enjoyed it. Like,
Famous is a really controversial.
Yeah,
like really interesting video.
It's a choice to make
for sure. Like, it's him being an artist, but I liked what he had to say.
I did too.
And I feel like kind of like with a nice little pin. And like it was so shady, but as he walked out, they had that line. I made that bitch famous. Was the line when he was coming out to come do his speech. I was like, because she wasn't there. She will never. I like, Taylor who? And speaking of Taylor, the only Taylor that matters was Teyana Taylor.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh.
That fade video gave me every feeling. I was just like, I want you. I want to be you. Like, I watched it like a good 5 times before I went to bed that Sunday night.
I'm just glad that she's getting her
She time gets to be right a star now.
Because she's been trying for years.
I mean, and she's been having, she had a great album.
And she had a great album.
Like, she, I, she's talented. I've been loving her since Super Sweet 16.
Yes. Yes.
And I was really pissed at Cosmo. Cosmo Magazine was like calling her a video girl. Like, introducing Kanye West's new video girl. Who is she? Like,
oh, the 10 things.
She's like, one, she's been around for so long.
So many years.
She is not new. She's not being introduced today. She's just showing her body off in a new light.
Exactly.
Like, she's been around. She's been a choreographer. She's choreographed for Beyonce.
Yes.
Like, she's an established chick. Like, how dare you? The only thing that was weird with that video was the ending.
The cat.
Yeah, that little cat face. The cat face and the tail, the lion face and the lambs and the, like, it was just like, okay, that Kanye imagery at the end.
Exactly.
But like, but she's officially changed the bad bitch game.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, there's a different type of bad bitch. It's not juicy booty. It is that hard booty that can still wiggle, still jiggle.
Because it was jiggling.
Oh, my
gosh.
It was jiggling in the right ways.
Oh, my God.
I loved it.
Oh.
Everyone was like, how do I get to the gym? Like, how do you lay on the ground and, like, have this beautiful arch? That beautiful arch between your back and the floor, because your booty is just so
her body
perfect.
Is just, oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
I was sharing a gif of her doing the crybaby
baby,
and that
yes.
booty just jiggling. I was like, yes, the crybaby's back.
It is. Oh my God.
And you can only do it in a thong. But like, everything was perfect. Like, that, like, that under titty mm-hmm. that she had, I just want to be in that under titty. Like,
just live in the under titty.
Like, I just want to be there. Like, I just, like, build a little home in that under titty and stay there forever. She was amazing.
No, everything about her is just amazing. Oh, she just had a baby. Like, what the heck? I can't even. Like, what?
And I've been hating her. She's been, like, getting interviewed. And she's like, yeah, I don't, like, go to the gym ever, actually. Like, it's, like, weird that I was dancing in a gym because I don't go to the gym. All I do is dance. Dance is my workout. And I'm like, huh? And then she's like, oh, I don't. Like, I don't diet. I eat whatever I want. I'm like, hey, shut up. No, you don't. You had to be, at least be on, like, a salad diet the week before you shot this. Come on.
I don't buy that,
come
actually.
Come on. Nah. No one's
I didn't know
like
she
that
said
naturally.
That. I didn't buy you don't get. You're not just like, coming out like
to be
that.
Like that cut.
She is cut.
To be that cut.
Okay, I'm not buying that one,
okay,
Tiana.
Okay. Mm-mm.
But you're good. But I like you.
She's amazing.
She's cute. She's amazing.
Oh my, she's so cute.
She's so pretty.
I love her face, too. I think she's always such a very interesting face. Yeah. She's a very, like, strong, masculine face. But still very feminine.
But still feminine.
Her, like, her chin. I love her chin. Her lips. Everything. I'm here for her. I'm hoping if I get cut like her, then, like the masculine notes in my face will pop the way that they pop in her. And I can just be the dark chocolate version of Tiana Taylor. I'm working on it.
Doing the crybaby in your thong.
Oh my God, oh. Crybaby, and that's all I'll be doing. Jordan just be home, like, yeah, I'm just watching my wife crybaby in this thong. I don't have to work anymore. I've achieved all my dreams. But like that, in that role. She, like, did, like, a roll with that booty. I'm just like, oh. And it made me think about J-Lo. She did, like, a similar
video
style.
That's
what
I thought.
That one doesn't exist anymore. F that.
I thought I was the only one who thought about that.
I was like, bye. And bye to all. I'm like, I'm sorry. If you have a fake butt or, like, a juicy, like, that's not the thing anymore. It's a new, good. We've got the new type of bad bitch is here.
Yes, yes.
And she goes to the gym.
Yes.
And doesn't just wear a waist trainer.
Yes. Oh my God. These RIP to the waist trainers, please.
Yeah. Let's kill them. Let's burn the waist trainers.
Gosh.
Because you don't get that body with the waist trainer.
Waist trainer. Thank you.
You don't. You dance, apparently. Eat whatever you want and dance.
I'm also calling bullshit on that, but okay.
Whatever. I'm gonna go dance.
Yeah, and I mean, eat whatever you want.
Yeah. You need vegan, but eat clean vegan too.
Anything else in the VMAs before we wrap it up?
Well, let's just go over some of the winners. Okay, so winners. Video of the year was Beyonce, I mean, Formation.
It's supposed to be a clear pattern right now.
Female video, Beyonce, hold up. Best male video, Calvin Harris featuring Rihanna.
I like
this
that
This is
song.
What you came for. I can't even like place that song.
Baby,
I feel
this is what you came for, lightning. Oh, every time she moves.
Okay.
I like that
like,
song.
I'm really bad with like pop music of like
it
knowing
is very pop.
Who is what is what? Hip hop video, Drake, Hotline Bling.
Okay.
Best pop video, Beyonce, Formation. Best rock video, 21 Pilots, Heathens. Uh-huh. Best new best new artist, Dance.
Who? Okay, sure.
I think that's a Jonas Brother, and then
that panels by the cake thing, that thing. Who is this?
Oh no. Anyway, I'm gonna skip that one. Best best collaboration, Fifth Harmony featuring Ty Dolla $ign, Work From Home. Breakthrough long form video. One. When did this become a thing? When did breakthrough long form video, and who else did a long form video besides Beyonce?
I guess it does make it a category.
I mean, Beyonce won for Lemonade, of course. But Chris Brown, I didn't know. Royalty, he was nominated. Justin Bieber's doing things. And then Florence and the Machine, who cares? I forgot they still made music.
I like Florence and the Machine.
Right? Best art direction, David Bowie for Black Star. Aww. And best choreography, Beyonce.
Obviously.
Best direction, Beyonce. Best cinematography, clearly Beyonce. Best editing, Beyonce. And then best visual effects, Coldplay. Cool. And song of the summer, which again, that's a category.
That's a thing. Okay, that's new to me. What is who won?
Fifth Harmony featuring Fetty Wap, All in My Head.
Sure.
Okay. I'm glad that Justin Timberlake Can't Stop the Feeling didn't win. So.
That song is awful. Oh,
so bad.
It's like a fake ass happy. That's what I think every time it
comes
on.
It is such a fake ass happy.
Oh my god. That song drives me crazy.
It's like happy in like Uptown Funk had a really terrible baby.
Yes.
Yes. It's just grating to the ears. I'm like, this is why we don't like. You are reminding us that you are an appropriator.
Yes.
Like as soon as white appropriation became a mainstream idea, Justin Timberlake, you gotta do better. You gotta change it up now. You can't like we will ride with your old shit, but you can't. Your new shit has to be different.
You gotta step it up.
All right, that's the John. Let's take a little break. Oh my god. Hey guys, for you, the listeners of Black Girls Laughing, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Personally, I love to listen to entrepreneurial books. I'm a big business nerd, as you already know. And right now, I'm listening to Will It Fly by Pat Flynn. You might know him from The Smart Passive Income. He has this amazing book that teaches you how to start your own business from the idea to testing out the concept to launching it. Check it out. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Again, that's audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing for your free audiobook. So it is September, and if you live in Philadelphia, that usually means the start of the Philly Fringe Festival. It happens every year. And this year, it is the 20th anniversary of the Fringe. I've actually performed in the Fringe twice, in 2010 and 2011. Back when I was producing original work, I did a show called The Jane Goodall Experience and another piece called Brandon. They were big hits. It was so great. I love the Fringe Festival. It's a great way for new and younger artists to get their work shown, to have some great marketing around their work so they can find new audiences. It's a great way to just see a lot of theater and dance and everything in between. What are your thoughts on the Fringe?
So I was introduced to the Fringe, oh my God, what was this, 2014? I was dating a guy who was like obsessed with the Fringe Festival, and he took me to one, and I was like, this is kind of weird. And then his ex-girlfriend was an actress in the show, so it was really weird. And I was like, oh my God, I'm never coming back to the Fringe ever again. And then I went back the following year, and it made up for the shitty year. So if you are in Philly, definitely check it out. I agree. It's nice because it's just such a wide spectrum of pieces. I think it's awesome that my friend last year did a piece, and he's what, 23. Mm-hmm. The fact that he would never get that opportunity elsewhere, but the fact that he got to put on this show was awesome, and I was so proud of him. He put all this work into it. It's a real labor intensive process.
I mean, there's people, like, I would spend January, I would start working on a piece to get it ready for September when the Fringe would happen. And you know, it's really difficult to self-produce. You have to find your own venue. You have to promote yourself, do the marketing, write press releases, in hopes that you can get some press so people can come and find your show. Because it's a great marketing tool to be a part of the Fringe, but also you're competing with like 100+ other shows. I think this year's 180 shows in this year's Fringe. And there's two segments of the Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. There's the curated Fringe, where the organization that runs the Fringe Festival, Fringe Arts, they bring in artists from all over the world and in Philadelphia, and they produce their shows. These shows have lots of money behind them, and they have larger venues and a lot of support from Fringe Arts itself. Mm-hmm. And then there is the traditional self-produced Fringe. And they like to separate all the different things by neighborhood, so you can see. So if you live in Philadelphia, try to find a Fringe guide. I remember when I first moved here, that this thing was my favorite. It's like my absolute favorite thing, because you get to see everything that's happening. I moved to Philly the summer before Fringe, and I was doing Headlong Performance Institute, which is a training in performance art, and like the thing that you do the following year is you produce yourself in the Fringe. And so as a part of your education and your introduction to Philly is that you see a bunch of shows. So that Fringe, I saw 30 shows between my school and just me wanting to go see other things.
Oh, wow.
And so it was like, you remember that big, right before Christmas, you get that big thing from Toys R Us that explains all the toys. Like, that's how excited I get about the Fringe Festival guide. Like, because it's that cool. Like, you to like sit down, like plot out, you know, you have your little stack of money and you decide where you can go, what you can see, how many free things are there.
But that little stack of money can get you to see
especially if you're under 25, if you're a student.
Yes.
There are student pricings for everything. So if you live in Philadelphia, or you live near Philadelphia, if you are trying to come to Philadelphia sometime, think about September. I think September is the best time to visit Philly.
That's a good time, actually.
Especially if you're in for like arts and culture, looking for like decent weather.
That's true.
Another thing that happens around this time is Restaurant Week, too.
Yes. Yes.
The stars can align perfectly. You can have a really great time in Philly. Have a 5-star time in Philadelphia. So this year, the festival is between September 9th and September 24th. And we want to highlight some shows that feature Black performers and the Black experience. So let's get that started.
Let's dive on in.
So the first show is actually, it's like, it's partly a show. It's the Colored Girls Museum that's in Germantown. They are presenting A Good Night's Sleep, which will be curated artifacts produced by colored women that depict a certain part of their life, and they're transforming the space that is this actual woman's home that is a museum. Mm-hmm. They've been around for a while. They actually they're one of the first pop-up museums they did was in a past French festival. If you're interested in checking that out, it is going to be running from September 9th to September 18th. There's multiple times you can go and check out the space. It's $15, about 55 minutes to go through the entire museum. You should definitely check it out. Yes. We're trying to get the people of the Colored Girls Museum to be on our show. So we'll definitely have that happen soon so you can learn more about them. But I think it's going to be a really great experience. It's something that's definitely on my list mm-hmm. of going. What else do we have? Then we also have the Filadenko in concert. Filadenko has been in Philadelphia for since 1970. They are a legendary dance performance group here in Philly. They're a nonprofit organization, and they're like one of the hottest tickets in town for Black African American dance. There will be doing a showing of works called Hands Singing Song, and they'll also be doing another work called Enemy Behind the Gates and some other works. It's going to be at Bryn Mawr College at the Goodhart Hall. Definitely, if you live in Philly and you haven't seen Filadenko, you're really missing out. You're messing up. You need to go see it. They're here all the time. Their shows sell out. Like, they are a huge staple to Philadelphia. If you have children that are interested in dance, they do dance classes. You can have children that can learn about dance through this institution. And yeah, you should definitely check it out. When are the dates? They're going to be at Bryn Mawr, only for one night only, on September 23rd at 8 p.m. To get your tickets, tickets are only $20, and it's a 90-minute show. I mean, again, this is probably the cheapest you will see Filadenko. Yes. Like, when they're at the Kimmel Center, tickets are expensive.
I'm going to check that one out then, actually, because you're right. $20, you're not going to ever get that again for Filadenko.
No, and that's true. And they're amazing.
So next up we have, I'm actually really excited to announce this one, The Children of Edgar and Nina by Jarrett McCrary and Bridget Reynolds. And I'm really excited to announce that because my first job out of college was at Philadelphia Theater Company. And these are two students I taught theater and playwriting too.
What?
So that's pretty insane. Amazing. Big ups to Jared and Bridget. I'm so excited for you two. They were students at Kappa, so I guess they're continuing their arts careers. That's so exciting. So they'll be at William Way, the LGBT Community Center at 13th and Spruce. And the show surrounds Felix and Luke. And it sort of uses dance, poetry, magic, and explores the intimacy and what it truly means to be vulnerable in the modern world. $15, 80 minutes. So check it out. Give them some love. They're youngins out in the game trying to get, make their way through it. So yeah, support them. The time, September 9th through the September 9th, 12th, 13th, and 15th, all at 7:30 at William Way, which again is at 13th and Spruce. So please show them some love. I'm so proud of them.
We're going together.
Okay, we have to go. Okay,
I definitely want to see the show.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for Jared. Oh my
god, that is so great. Yes. I love people. I mean, as someone that's self-produced, it's so great to see people, especially young Black people, producing. I mean, and it's great that they're from Philadelphia too. They are from Kappa to Temple, yes, to teaching theater here, to like working together.
They've stayed in Green.
Yeah,
that's
like
amazing.
A playwright director duo. Yes. So they can go on forever.
So yes, big ups.
Yes. Okay. You're gonna get them. We're gonna interview them.
Yes. Okay. We can do that. Yes. Yes. I can make that happen.
Awesome. So we're coming for you. We want you. Next show is A Runaway, A Soldier, and a Snowball Fight. It's by Leah Lawler, and it's going to be produced by Iron Age Theater. It is a comedic surreality in Boston, based in 1777 in the days leading up to the Boston Massacre. It's about Crispus Attucus, a runaway slave that engages Sam Adams, a rumbling British soldier and a barkeep, you know, Sam Adams beer. And he's lauded as a martyr of the American Revolution. Sometimes history glorifies unfair murder as an act of defiance. And so they are tying this. I was looking at their press release. They're tying it to the murders of Trayvon Martin.
Oh, wow.
And Tamir Rice, and they're linking these two stories into this new play, and how does the slaying of Black bodies spark a revolution and spark change, even though the American Revolution does lead into hundreds of more years of slavery, and the murder of more Black bodies. But hopefully they will talk about that in the piece. What's really interesting is that it's a show that is going to be put up at Fergie's Pub at 12th and Sansom. So it's going to have that space of that barkeep, of being inside of like a English or New England bar, because like, you know, that Fergie's Pub already has that aesthetic to it. So I think it should be really interesting, and you can, you know, have a drink and have some good food while also seeing some great work.
That sounds really good.
And so that's going to be happening September 14th through the 24th at varying times between 5, 6, 2 o'clock. So see if you can check it out. We're going to have links to all of these shows in our show notes and on our Facebook, so you can go purchase your tickets and check it out. And it's with Iron Age Theater Company. They are really committed to making works that are about critical issues.
That sounds really good. Okay, I'm actually like putting it on top of my list.
All right.
That's pretty incredible. Again, moving on to another one. I'm just impressed that there's so many shows dealing with race and sort of what it means to be Black at this time. Like, that's pretty amazing that so many... obviously it's happening now, and it's a big topic.
It's a hot topic.
Yes,
I would actually think there would be more.
Really, you think so? You think so?
I mean, last year there were a lot. I mean, because, like, we were coming out of... So we're going 1 year out after Mike Brown and everything that happened in Ferguson. That was last year. And so there was a lot of pieces that were dealing with race. Mm-hmm. And so this year, I'm a little bit shocked. I mean, it's also just reflective of Philadelphia there and the art scene that doesn't really have a lot of people of color. And also, it's expensive to be a part of the French Festival.
It's pricey.
It's a great experience, but if you don't have the $350 to just be a part of the French, you won't do it. And so there might be other shows that are going to be happening during that time that are not a part of it.
Right.
And there's a lot of people of color that live outside of the mainstream or the core white theater community.
Please go see it, Black people. All people, but
I mean, yeah, I mean, what's great is that other people will see it because it's in a French restaurant.
Yes, yes. But I went in the audience the few times I went. It's not been a lot, I'll be honest. It hasn't been that many black folk.
Going to French shows?
Yeah. Yeah,
no, oh my gosh. Yeah, every time I go to like a main, like a thing at French Arts. I mean, I just did a piece at Fringe in June, and I made a whole joke about in my piece that only white people go to Fringe things.
So black people
on their stage.
Prove her wrong. Prove her wrong.
It's true. You can't like lie.
We also have a world premiere happening during the Fringe Festival. Citizen, Reggie Wilson, and Fist Hill Performance Group. It'll be actually at the Fringe Arts Building, which is at 140 North Columbus Boulevard. It's a beautiful space. If you've never been there, check it out. It's absolutely gorgeous. And they have alcohol. So liquor yourself up and then go see some art. It's 75 minutes. Let's see the time. So September 8th at 7 p.m. And that's the opening night if you want to be real fancy and do it up big. And then they have September 9th and 10th at 8 p.m. And the show basically surrounds what it means to be a citizen in America and what that looks like. And if you fit into that mold of being a citizen of America. Again, it's a world premiere. It has expressively physical, takes audience member on a physical ride. What else did they say? Just make sure I get all the stuff that's provocative. They said this is exhilarating, provocative work features layered interplay between dancers, film, and shadow, and a masterful display of emotion. The prices, $29 for general admission, $20.30 if you're a member, and for students, $15. So students, go see some art, please.
Students slash 25 and under.
Yes, slash 25 and under. Yes. So yeah, 25 and under.
Mm-hmm.
Get
or,
on
you
it.
Know, if you you know, your beautiful melanin. You're
youthful.
Yeah, you got a youthful face. They ain't going to card you. I mean, they might, but they probably
I'm gonna
not.
I'm going to say, if they card you, call her out.
Yeah. But what's really interesting to me is that Reggie Wilson was very inspired by Zora Neale Hurston during his trip to Paris in 2014. Zora, I mean, at the time when she was creating her work, many black American artists fled to Paris, but she decided not to. And so this is like a big part of that research of this idea of truly claiming yourself as being American. And that is a huge, that's still a part of the black artist experience,
huge.
Is leaving this country and then going to Europe and then actually truly finding your voice, because you have left the, you're seeing world in a different lens that isn't clouded by white supremacy in America, and you get to see a new understanding of blackness. So this is,
it seems pretty great.
Thankfully it's early in the Fringe, so I'll be able to check it out.
And if you go opening night, you can actually hear from Reggie himself, because he's doing a Q&A with food and drinks after. So if you are being fancy, stay after the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's opening night of the festival, so it's going to be a good time. You can stay at Fringe Arts probably all night and like hang out and see all the different things. I think like Martha Graham Cracker. No, not Martha Graham Cracker. Red 40 actually is going to be doing it. is going to be doing like the after party there. I have opinions, but
we'll keep them to ourselves.
This is the one that I'm like ridiculously excited about. It's Portrait of Myself as My Father by Nora Chipower Meyer. I'm sorry if I messed that up. I do not like, I'm bad at names. And I can't read if you haven't noticed today. this is a co-presentation with the Philadelphia Museum of Art. It's one of the curated shows in the Fringe Festival. And it's going to be at the loading dock entrance at the museum, the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And it's this one woman show where that uses like dance and spoken word and like plays with masculinity and masculine physical language and body posture for her to explore who her father was, who she never got to meet. And she's trying to understand who he is and through her body and like in physical and just like taking over who he is and her imagining of what he would be. It looks absolutely amazing. I love it when women take on masculinity and yes. And have a and I just love that she's taking on like this boxing and fighting and She's commenting on masculinity, blackness, this idea of being without your father, something that is unfortunately like which is like a big theme in a lot of African American art. Mm-hmm. This is a theme in art in general. People are fatherless often. I'm really excited about
these. Are awesome. Pretty damn impressive performances. Like, they're going there. They're not holding back.
Yeah, this is gonna be amazing. So check it out. It's also with the PMA because right now they have their Africa exhibit called Creative Africa. So it's a part of their Creative Africa exhibit. So that's why the Fringe Arts and the Philadelphia Museum of Art are teaming up in this way. Really check it out. It is going to be on September 23rd and 24th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $29 for general admission, but again, only $15 for students and people that are 25 and under. It's 75 minutes. It's a solo. I think you're gonna love it.
That sounds amazing.
Actually, it's not. I mean, no. There's music as well, but it's a solo. She is a solo performer.
So we have another one happening September 10th from 12 to 4 p.m. And my favorite word, this one is free. So there's no excuse not to check it out. Raf Stravaganza, The Kinetic Experience by Raphael Xavier is happening at City Hall. So take your lunch with you. Go out, enjoy the nice weather, and check out some art by Raphael. Again, it's happening September 10th from 12 to 4. So you can, even if you can't make it in the beginning, you can come back and check it out during lunch before you leave for work for the day. There's no excuse not to come check out Fringe at some point during the festival. And it's a leading hip hop artist and 2013 Pew Fellow. Raphael Xavier will bring together masterful street performers, extreme BMX riders, acrobatic contortionists, and live music. People, this has something for every person. Like, let's just run that again. Street performers, extreme BMX riders, acrobatic contortionist. Like, there's something for you to enjoy.
And it's a central location at City Hall. So, like, you can get on the train, you can get on the bus, you can get there.
And all this basically shaped his childhood. So he's bringing all these art forms together for this one piece. So please check it out. It's only one day, but there's multiple performances happening during that one day. So check it out.
Yeah, see which one you can check out. I think it's four different 30-minute shows. Yes. Mm-hmm. That are like starting at 2 o'clock and like going into the evening.
Yeah, so his is starting at 12 and going until 4.
12 until 4, yep. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So check it out. No excuse.
So I think this is the one that I'm like the most excited about because I love Stew. And I love James Baldwin. So this is Notes of a Native Song. It will be happening at the Wilma Theater. It's inspired by the art and of our writer and activist James Baldwin. Stu and Heidi Rodewald, who are the creators of the Tony Award-winning musical Passing Strange, are going to be exploring Baldwin's legacy through a concert novel. So if you love rock music, if you love blues, if you love James Baldwin, if you saw Passing Strange, if you just want to have an amazing experience, you have to go check this out. It is gonna be life.
I mean, come on, James Baldwin, like, you have to go see that. I loved James Baldwin when I was a teenager. Like, that was like my heart. So, oh my gosh, we have to go see that. Like, that yes. has to be.
Yes. Yes. But this one's like have a done all deal.
The feels about
like,
it.
It is a done deal. We will be doing it. Oh no, we won't be because it's all sold out. Great.
No. Are you serious?
It's all sold out, man. Oh, we messed up.
Do we know anyone? We'll talk after.
We know some people somewhere. We will be able to sneak in somewhere. We'll get in. I know people at the Wilma. Hey, Allison. She doesn't listen to this show. But yeah, we. So if you're able to figure out a way to get a ticket, it is happening September 8th through the 11th. And at the Wilma Theater on Broad Street. Again, it's only $35 for general admission, $15 for students and people under 25.
Yeah, you can sneak in, make it happen.
Oh man, I'm about to, like, really? Are all these tickets? Yeah, no you might be able to get them from the Wilma Theater. You need to call the Wilma Theater, go to the Wilma Theater. Their website, they might have tickets. That's what it's saying on the Fringe website. The Fringe has sold all of their tickets, so
we'll be contacting Wilma.
Yes, basically. Like yes. As soon as we're done recording. I gotta see that. All right, and we'll just both talk about it.
Okay.
So that concludes the shows that are about the Black experience. Thank you for the Fringe. They actually curated this list for us. I reached out to them and I was like, hey, we want to talk about this. How can you help us out? Thank you so much for doing that work.
Shout out. Thank you.
Please, if you are in Philly and you decide to come up to Philadelphia to check out the Fringe Festival, let us know. Tweet at us. Send us your pictures on to our Instagram. We want to know that you're here, and maybe we can run into you guys and we can all chat and we get a drink after a show.
Yes.
That'll be so much fun.
That'll be so cute. Yeah.
We're like, we'll post what shows we're going to so we can all hang out. So, you know, B has been missing. And the reason why she's been missing from the show is because she's actually going to be in the Fringe Festival this
Woo-hoo!
Year. She's super excited because she hasn't been, like, she came to Philly and went straight to school and working full time. So she hasn't been able to be doing her love of theater for 2 years now. And she's going to be in Bedlam, Shakespeare in Rehab, presented by Manny Young Theater Company. She is playing one of Shakespeare's heroines. So the show takes everything that you know about classic Shakespeare theater and turns it on its head. It takes all of the Shakespearean heroines, you know, like the Violas,
yes.
And the Ophelias and the Desdemonas, and puts them all in one show, and they all represent a different mental disorder, and they have all these crazy monologues, so it should be a lot of fun. What I'm the most excited about has nothing to do with the show. There's nothing to do with the content of the show or about that Britney's in it. There's this chick named Bree Knight. I'm known in Philadelphia as Bree Hines. B is B Knight. So there's this chick that has our like combination of our names. She's black too. Coming, rolling around in Philadelphia.
Her name is Bree Knight Hines.
Her name is Bree Knight. It's like the combination of the two of us.
Okay. I was like, wait, what? Okay.
Confusing the world. Like, we're already confusing. And then you have these.
That's
so I want to meet this hoe.
The girls in the show?
The girls in the show. She's probably a lovely person, but she's in the show.
She is. I'm so happy for being not to be confused with Bree Knight. So, oh my god,
what the heck,
what the hell. Oh. I just think it's interesting that B is so focused on mental health and wellness, and this is like the friend show that she becomes a part of. It's quite amazing. I know she's going to kill it, so
yeah,
I can't wait to see her.
I'm really excited. So you all should check it out. It's running September 9th through September 17th. Has lots of performances. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll have the links and everything ready for y'all. Check it out. It's only $15.
For 85 minutes. Come on.
Like a full night of theater.
That's amazing.
Go. Have a great time. Bring B some flowers.
Aw, yes. She loves her flowers.
Or just like give her a hug or something. I mean, if you don't have the money, like don't think you can't go if you don't have flowers.
Times are tough. I know.
Show up. It's going to be Maniunk. It will be a blast.
Yes. So proud of our girl.
Yay. So excited for Fringe. I'm going to see some shows. I'm going to see a bunch of shows.
You need to top that guy. What's his name? Brett?
Oh, Brett Knapp. There's this fella in Philadelphia that, like, he, like, quit. Like, he doesn't work the entire Fringe time, and he sees, like, three shows a day. Like, he's crazy.
That's dedicated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's very, very dedicated. And, he sends out, like, an email to people, like, letting everyone know his schedule.
Where he is.
Where in the world is Brett Knapp? Where is Brett Knapp? Where are you going? You want to join him? You can join him for his times.
On that note. Let's take it back a little bit. What's your throwback jam for this week? What were you... Where are we going with this? I'm excited. I need to know.
Okay.
This is my favorite part always. The throwback jams are always my favorite.
So, today I woke up and I was... On Facebook, because that's what you do when you wake up in the morning. You pick up your phone. And Vox had this amazing video about Kanye West and his use of the human voice in all of his music. Like, it really made me re-examine my love of Kanye. And they go through pretty much his entire discography, and they highlight certain parts where you have no idea that you didn't recognize that he was actually using the human voice, or he was making instruments sound like the human voice. They were talking about what was the song? Runaway? No, they were talking about Jesus Walks, and how Jesus Walks, pretty much every single sound inside of Jesus Walks is the human voice. Even the beat is human. It's like
beatbox or something?
Not beatbox. Like boom, boom. That's a person.
Okay, that's true.
And so that's something he's always been very interested in. So the first one they really talk about is his breakout hit, his first song.
Yes.
Because it truly uses voice as the storytelling mechanism, and it's Through the Wire. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is right after he had a major car accident. His mouth was wired shut. And he decided to make this song and release it as his, like, this is who I am outside of just being a producer. Mm-hmm. And, like, no one else in the world would have thought to do that. But it worked for him because he was telling the story of what happened and through still suffering through the injury. I just love it. And that, and it has the one of the best samples that really showing like his great and like genius work of using samples, like of finding things that people love, but maybe people aren't like necessarily remember, or that, you know, not everyone in the world knows. I feel like, you know, like Diddy back in the day did lots of samples, but it was samples of songs that everyone already knew and cared about.
Yeah.
And like, Through the Fire, Chaka Khan is an amazing song.
It's so beautiful.
But, like, again, I don't know a lot of people outside of, like, the Black community still, like, hold on to that song.
Yeah.
And so he does a great job of, like, bringing in these little things that you forgot about.
That's a good point.
I mean, to the point where I had a radio show in college that I called Musicality that talked about, just because I was so inspired by all the things that you were like, oh yeah, he used this little bit of this song. Like, I didn't know that this was this was like the end of Pretty Young Thing is Good Life. Like, it's the main sample of Good Life, you know? Like, he's such a genius.
He's a genius. And that word is overused, but he's a genius. He's a genius.
And if you don't think he's a genius, I got questions for you. I was just saying that I think that white people that don't like Kanye are usually, I think they are low-key racist or just blatantly racist at some point. They need to check their whiteness. Because it's the threat of a Black man that is sure of himself, mm-hmm. that has the confidence in himself to speak his mind and use his power that they are most threatened at. Mm-hmm. And that if you are still sad about Taylor Swift, you really need to check yourself. I mean, at the very least, we can say that this has only helped Taylor Swift.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's
propelled her further. Yeah, like, absolutely, like, without question.
Made that bitch famous. It's truth. And killed her all at once. Who knew that it would take like how many years to come around? I know. That's the power of Kanye. And Kim Kardashian, I guess, but definitely Kanye.
She plays a part of that, for better or worse. She does.
Whatever. She's ride or die, and I love any chick that's ride or die. That's who I am. I'm true to. I'm ride or die on a lot of different levels. I'm ride or die with friends. I'm ride or die for my man. Like, oh my gosh. But when I first heard this song, I was a junior, a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm. That's also just like crazy. Like, it's been that long. Kanye. Like,
yeah.
I'm like 29 now. So like, what? Kanye's been around.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. This Swedish boy that started going into my school was so excited because Kanye was going to be at the Strand Theater, which is like a small ass theater in Boston. And he was like, I can't wait to go see him. Like, and I was like, what are you talking about? Who is Kanye? And he like played this for me. I was like, oh my God, this is fire. And I was still in that like phase where I wasn't really liking hip hop because I was still the way that I rebelled. I think that the way that a lot of Black people, Black millennials, have rebelled has been, I listen to pop music now, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Forget your hip hop and R&B for like a little while. You have like this moment where we were talking about how much we loved
boy bands. Yeah.
Like, and that was like to be contrary. And this Kanye was like, no, come back. There's greatness that you are being stupid about. And yeah, thank you, Swedish boy. I forgot your name. for reminding me what I should like for introducing Kanye into my world. Yeah. And I've been about it ever since.
No, Kanye is brilliant. He really is.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, replay it.
Oh my gosh, it's so good listening to today. I mean, I have my Kanye mornings, and today was a Kanye morning where I listened to all of, like all my favorite tunes.
All right.
So, giggle, cackle, roar. Here we go. My giggle is for a brand new magazine called Crown. C-R-W-N. You know, because we don't like vowels anymore.
I know. What happened? When did that become the thing?
It's such Motorola. A thing. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's an A.
Well, it was the beginning of that. Not like that's when all that started. It's a magazine that is all about natural hair. Black women with natural hair. Where they are the center of the magazine. You know, Essence, they'll have a few natural hair women there. They'll have like a they'll have a article about it every once in a while. They'll have in their beauty section a couple of natural hair products, but it's never the center of the magazine. And it's all about showing natural beauty and women, women of color, black women. Not just women of color, black women. Mm-hmm. And that are just naturally beautiful, that are like more like the women that you know in your life,
yeah.
That are gorgeous, that know how to dress, that know how to look flawless in their everyday lives. And it's weaving together what we were talking about before with natural hair, that this idea that it's still very much on the fringe, even though natural hair is becoming more and more mainstream in the black community. It doesn't have a central mouthpiece, and this is trying to be that. It's mm-hmm. taking all of these beauty bloggers from YouTube mm-hmm. and all of the different black hair care forums and websites and creating this beautiful experience of taking a magazine, mm-hmm. this tangible object, and like that, like actually creates an artifact mm-hmm. of it. So at the end of the day, all that other stuff just lives in the internet.
Mm-hmm.
There's this piece that's happening in the Huffington Post, in the video on the Huffington Post right now with the founders of Crown Magazine, and the woman talks about how when Essence first came out, it was an event for black women to get that new issue, mm-hmm. to sit down and read it. Like how I was talking about how I love to look at the physical fringe guide, or how I loved the big book of toys. Like it's the same thing, and women are looking for that too. It's like how everyone gets excited for the September Vogue.
Yes.
You know, you want to sit there, you want to see
true.
what you need to get into. Like so creating yes. that event for black natural hair.
And that's amazing. That's incredible.
So their first issue will be coming out this month.
Wow.
You can go to their website and you can pre-order your first issue. They'll mail it directly to you. It's a little bit of an investment. It's not, it's $20. Okay. So it's like...
That is an investment.
It's like...
For one
like,
magazine?
I mean, it's for one magazine. It's like, well, it's not... They're not a true blue magazine yet.
Yeah.
So they mm-hmm. can't have the $20 subscription.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
$3.99.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
it's and like print is also like a little bit of a relic at the same
yeah.
time. But they're making a choice of having this physical artifact that you can have, that you can
mm-hmm.
save and share and repurpose into your world in some way. Natural 85 Whitney,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's going to be on the cover of the first issue.
Yes,
I love
this.
Her. I've been watching her
on
YouTube forever.
This is so beautiful. Just that it's showing black women so many different facets, and that we're beautiful across the spectrum, and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be this one image, this one size fits all look of beauty for black women.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are a few detractors. I can't not bring it up and not talk about some of the people that have had some negative comments about it. And like you know, you're not going to have full representation in just the first issue and just in one showing. And so they were like, where's all the different body types? I think they'll be there. They're not here in this first issue.
It takes time. It can't all be perfect.
Like, it's not. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's keeping into that fashion aesthetic for right now, but it's still different people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still vastly different. Mm-hmm. You know, they just want to have that spectrum, and I think that spectrum will come.
It will.
But yeah. I mean, and that's always been a big issue with the natural hair community of who gets to shine in the natural hair community. It's like you don't see. Like, people that are doing really well in that world usually have a looser curl pattern.
It's true. It's very true. It's true.
And so there's a whole movement of the women that have 4C hair. Yes. That they make sure that they can highlight themselves and show that kinky hair can be just as beautiful. And it is.
Yeah.
It's So, I mean, it has the same issue. Like, there are still those same issues that will be mitigated over time. And I think they are ready to listen and learn. And, I don't know. I haven't talked to them. But hopefully, they'll be ready to listen and learn. I'm just excited that this exists.
That's amazing.
And then it will be able to grow upon itself.
That's amazing. Yes. That's awesome. So, my cackle. I don't even know this man. Just like he's bae on so many levels for me.
Too many levels.
Like, oh my God. And I have been thinking this for years. So now that people are starting to like say it with me, I'm like, yes, yes, let's say it together in unison. Donald Glover. Mm. Oh my God. He's so crazy talented. Like, he sings, he raps, he acts.
He's a comedian.
He's a comedian.
Stand-up.
He's hilarious. And now he's creating his own show on FX called Atlanta, premiering September 6th at 10 p.m. Check it out. Make sure you tune in. Support this man because he is doing great things. I mean, the fact that like this whole Spider-Man controversy came out a while ago and like, he's stuck to his grounds and like his principles and like the fact that he is now in this and creating his own show that's centered around Black people.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels, so it's set in Atlanta, obviously, given the title, about a Princeton dropout. That's who he plays. And he finds his golden ticket managing his rap star cousin. So it feels, and I don't know yet, so I could be completely wrong. It feels like a Black Entourage almost.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's kind of what this sounds like. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know this. Bree brought to my attention the writing room, the writer's staff, all Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, yes, Donald Glover, like, give me all the greatness. Like, what?
Yeah, because those all white writers' rooms that get to write about the Black experience.
And they do it so quickly. They are quick to go
like,
to that.
You know, Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Like, love the show, but like you have, and that's why we have the problematic situations like this last season of Orange is the New Black, you know, taking pain and really hurting a lot of Black people, blindsiding them with some raw tragedy, and then the caricatures of what they create of how they display the Black and brown women. It's because that room is completely white.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see Blackness with so much nuance.
I'm so excited. I am so excited for this show. I was excited in the beginning, and then hearing that news, it just took it to a new level.
Bay all day.
He is, oh my God. Yes. Yes, Donald. All the great things. Like, oh my God. I'm obsessed with him. Oh my God.
Have you watched Magic Mike XXL?
We've had this story conversation, yes.
Because he's in it. And he makes those panties drop. Like, hardcore. He's like, does like the special, like, a special lady needs some love right now. Oh my gosh. But like, not that like I'm about to hump you to death type of thing. It's like, Donald, you don't think of, as much as he is bad, you don't think of him of like grinding up and down on you. Yes. I'm not ready for his dingling to swing in my face like that. I don't think about him in that way.
You don't.
I think
about
him like cuddly,
smart. Yeah. We'll have some good conversation. Yeah. You know, yeah.
He's got like, he can like cook me a meal and sing me a song.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. He's okay.
So yes, check it out. Atlanta on FX. Guess we'll go right into the roar.
Yeah, roar time.
Oh my gosh. So I don't know where I first saw this, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh hell, this got to be in the podcast. We got to make sure we mention this. So Georgetown University, in an effort to acknowledge its ties to slavery, will offer the descendants of nearly 300 slaves preferential treatment in its admission process.
So, at one point, Georgetown University was in terrible debt.
Yes.
And a way to pay that debt, they sold
272 slaves. Yes. Mm-hmm. In 1838.
Yeah.
They sold 272 slaves.
So if you are a descendant of those slaves, you will be treated as if you were a legacy. Mm-hmm. Of Georgetown University. And I saw this on like CBS News.
Same, something like that, yeah.
And they had some of the people that were
benefited from this,
that could benefit, or their if they have children, they could benefit. They were actually quite old. They were not like, you know, 18 or anything.
College age, not quite.
They weren't college age. They were like, you know, a smooth 50 or more. I'm just very interested in like, how are they gonna figure that out?
That's what I wanna know. How do you figure that out?
Because like, I think that's one of the hardest things about being a black descendant of slaves, is being a black American. That's the distinct difference between us and the rest of the black world, is that we cannot trace back our ancestry.
No.
Like, they have made sure that is something that has
been completely
erased. People can't go past their great grandmothers in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
So how
that was my exact thought.
I want people to benefit from this, but how?
That was my exact question. I was like, is this just like, and I hate to say this, like something to sound good? Because how do you trace that back? That is a real issue.
I mean, it's a big deal that they are even acknowledging.
Oh, agreed.
I would love for more universities to acknowledge their slave holdings. I would love for more universities to change. Like, they've changed the names of a couple of their buildings and dorms that were named after slavers.
Right. Yeah.
So if they can do that, like, hey, Yale, you can do that. You can do it. Every school in the Ivy League can acknowledge how slavery has been a part of their history. Those Southern schools, you know, the Southern Ivies, Vanderbilt,
oh, they're steeped in it. Come on.
You can acknowledge your relationship to slavery. Because that's our biggest issue as America, is that we do not understand nor care to talk about the ripple effect of hundreds of years of direct oppression of black people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a huge deal. Are a lot of people going to benefit from it? Are a lot of people directly going to benefit from it? Probably not.
Sure.
Because, again, we just can't do that.
You can't. Like, it's just damn near impossible to trace it back.
And so they're just going to allow it. Are they going to just say, if you just say you are?
That's what I'm like. Can I just say it? Like,
I'm black and I think so. Like, I don't know.
But they did say they are also going to host a mass of a reconciliation where it will apologize publicly for this whole history. Like, they will have an actual event acknowledging this and having speakers come out, and really like a day long situation where they talk about the past and how it sort of plays a part even today.
I would also love to see something about their curriculum change inside of their American studies courses and an emphasis on slavery in whatever, if they have an American studies major or some type of American history rooted coursework to make sure that is never forgotten.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And again, that's something that a lot of universities need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, taking on American studies courses, never really talked about that. Very much like media related, but not so much rooted in some of these major histories that shape the dynamics of how people exist here. And if we acknowledge it first, we can begin to heal.
Yes. Let's start to heal.
We'll see.
Beyonce's helping us.
Beyonce's helping us.
Kanye's helping.
I don't know.
I think he is. I think you have to tap into the really raw, ugly stuff.
Yeah,
with the healing
like,
stuff.
He just like jumps all over.
He
the place.
Does jump all over the place. He does.
He can have like a really good song, like ultra light beam. And the next song is
like
about
bitch slap you up or something.
Like you know, some like if I have like someone that just like yeah,
get bleach on your ass. Yeah. Point taken.
I need every bad bitch up at Equinox.
That's true.
I don't even know if you're a freaking lot. Favorite line. Favorite line of any song ever.
On that note.
But like, Kaepernick, you're my dude.
Yes.
We're gonna bring you up one more time.
Oh
I love
gosh.
Those pig socks. Those are great. Those are great.
Colin. Yes.
Oh my gosh. The history of black sports taking a stance, being people that can take their power, taking their privilege, taking their place in society, and protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that thinks that it makes no sense that a rich man can protest, you're stupid. You don't understand how having a actual platform and protesting is a big deal.
Yes. Like, why you have that platform. That's what that platform is there for. For you to step up when you want to and get your point across.
And like compare that to Cam Newton, who had a platform and decided to care about his dollars. Protect your millions. Phil, don't do that. What he said about we're post-racial. All right.
Cam Newton.
You start throwing some interceptions and watch all the N-words get flown
exactly.
at you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you tell me how post-racial we are. You have too much fun some night and someone videotapes it and have everyone call you a thug and you tell me how post-racial we are. Right? Go act like Ryan Lochte and see what happens to you.
That is very true.
Go. I challenge you.
That is very true. That is very true.
But anyways, that is the show. Oh my gosh, please check us out on the interwebs at blackgirlslaughing.com. You can catch us on Twitter at blackgirlslaughing, no G. Also on Instagram at blackgirls, B-O-K, girls, laughing, no G. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. And you can email us if you have anything you want us to talk about, something that you want to point our attention to. If you want to be on the show, you are interesting,
yes.
And you have something that you want to share, we are here to help promote you. So please email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. We love you so much. And please, if you haven't yet, leave a comment, a review on iTunes. All you have to do is inside of your podcast app, you go to Black Girls Laughing, our show page, you scroll over to reviews, And right there, you can leave a lovely review. It really helps us be found by more people.
Also, check out Fringe. I really want to push Philly Fringe. Go if you're to in the Philly, Fringe Festival. Check out some damn art, people.
It's amazing. It is what helps us check ourselves and check our humanity. It's the one thing that separates us from the other living things on this planet is the making of art. It's an essential part of our existence. And support the art. And if you do not live in Philadelphia, just support the art in your town, in your city, in your country. We're going to be on hiatus. We're probably not going to have another show until October, as I am going through, I'm getting my ACL fixed through surgery. Bye. Come on.